Blog Talk Radio.
Priestess and the Cauldron, a podcast featuring Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, two out-of-the-broom-closet professional witches with over 70 years combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC Radio Network. During each show, Elvira and Phoenix will help you create rituals, make spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long-ago cultures and infusing it with a modern perspective. Elvira, Phoenix, take it away.
Oh, wow.
I don't feel prepared. I don't feel prepared.
Well, don't feel bad. I mean, I may have felt that I got prepared, but the way the week has been rolling out, it's kind of thrown things, I don't know, kind of askew. So this is going to be an interesting show.
Yes. As per usual.
Yes. Well, at least we have that. We have that common denominator about what our show is. We start with, we are going to do this, and then it becomes this unusual combination of, yes, we know what we're talking about, and no, we don't, you know, really have everything at our fingertips that we can sound like, you know, it's a boring lecture. So, But anyway, so we'll start off with something easy. How was your week?
How was my week? It's been pretty good. As I've mentioned before, you know, the shop Milk and Honey has been very busy. So, you know, when you get busier, you have to order more. And this week we got so much new stuff in. I'm still not done putting it away. I was here really late. And I'm in my new office right now, so that's rather exciting. But I was here really late last night, and I'm still not done. So that's feeling a little bit, like, daunting at the moment. Yeah, and my whole week's been thrown off. So my partner and I both have been vaccinated now, but we got vaccinated at different times, and we got different vaccines. So it's been very interesting, this little ride. So he got his second vaccine this week, his second shot, and he got really sick. He got, like, you know, about the same as me. I had about a 12-hour window where I had a pretty high fever, and I just felt terrible and, you know, aches and chills and all the things I'm sure everyone's read about. But it was only 12 hours. He had it more like 36. So he was he would start to feel better, and then his fever would creep up again. So that really threw my week off.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, I was expecting to have, like, a day of kind of, you know, checking in on him and making sure he was okay. But he, you know, he's not a very good sick person. So he needed a lot more sort of tending. And I'm not the best nursemaid. I'm kind of cranky and short-tempered. So instead of having, like, one day kind of go sideways, I had almost 3 days go sideways. So I'm feeling like I keep forgetting it's Friday. I have so much to do, and I just feel super off, and I think you said you felt frazzled. I feel frazzled, like, that's the perfect word, frazzled. So, you know, I'm here in my fancy new office, which is very exciting. I'm just trying to get through one thing at a time and feel like I'm actually accomplishing something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it, I guess. I mean, that's enough, right? Like, I can have a week of just frazzled.
Well, it does. It is, and it does, and it's just, you know, it. And again, I know that we wound up with Moon and Aries, and we wound up, you know, we're in the sun sign of Aries, and actually we're coming, yeah, we still are. You know,
yeah.
And I know some of the stuff that was, you know, kind of out there after, you know, everything kind of started shifting and all, but it feels really in, like, I want to say almost like it's stout, you know,
mm-hmm.
and energetically kind of like, you know, and unfortunately drivers are like that.
Yeah.
You know, the sad part is that with the COVID vaccinations and our tier, you know, changes to more open
right.
and all that, we have more vehicles on the road.
Oh,
we
my
have
God.
More
traffic's
people.
Been crazy lately.
And,
crazy.
Yeah, and we are, yes, we are not a metropolis. We definitely,
right.
whether it's Sebastopol or Santa Rosa, but all of the more 101 highway, 101 towns and, you know, of course, cities and stuff. And it's just, it's unbelievable. And, of course, you would know that because of all that's gone on and whatever, you know, monies that the county and the cities have gotten for their
yeah.
infrastructure, they're ripping up roads left, right, and center. So you're adding that. And, of course, right now
mm-hmm.
for me, it's the one over Chenate because, of course, that particular one in our area is really big because of the huge parcel of land that still belongs to Sonoma County, but they're working on trying to get a deal to put multiple family dwellings on that
mm.
area. So, like, a huge amount of people are going to be influxed into that area. And, of course,
oh, my gosh. And there's,
everything.
Like, there's no infrastructure
yeah.
for that. That's so nuts.
Yeah. That's it. So they're in the process of trying to do that. And, of course, it's a main artery
yeah.
to get over. And, you know, I mean, it's either Fountain Grove or that. And not that people on the West East Coast would know any of these things. But the point is that it's one of the main things. And, you know, if you take that away, it becomes a total, it's very difficult. We'll just put it in a much more humane way of saying it. But I've just noticed people in general are driving like idiots. I mean, normally
mm-hmm.
we have people that drive like idiots, but they're just like, you know, I think I'm going to go over here, bam. And whoever's
yeah.
there, and they know that who are there, but it's like, just make way for me. Go, hey, come on. I mean, I'm coming. And you just want to go, what happened with turning your signal on? What happened with, you know, any of this? So,
yeah,
and it's just a lot of people. And it's, you know, it's because everybody's now out. And
yep.
you know, so that's sort of a generic for both of us and our how we have had to function if we're going anywhere or doing anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
So my week, on the other hand, has been, you know, kind of weird and you know, offbeat. My next door neighbor who did pass away, and his nephew is the beneficiary of the whole thing. They are putting it on the market. Well, it's an older mobile. I think it's older than mine.
Mm-hmm.
It's in a lot worse shape, but they, you know, they've been cleaning it out and doing all kinds of stuff and trying to, you know, spruce it up by, you know, cleaning the windows and, you know, all that stuff. So there's been a lot of activity over there. And, you know, me, I'm still packing.
Yeah.
I'm packing. It's just, and on the air of, I will say the boxes of peanuts will either go today or tomorrow, and I'm going to make that like it's on forevermore that you have been nice enough to hold aside. But it's been that. Then we've had, you know, a couple of employees, you know, have had at Lucky Mojo have been, A, gone on vacation. And
yeah, I
one
saw
of them,
that.
Yes, yes. We had One went in Oregon and one went to, yes, Florida, Disney World.
Disney World. I know, I've been like, part of me is like, why are you going to Disney World right now during a pandemic? And part of me is like, oh, I'm so jealous.
I know. And, you know, it's just like, oh, my God, you know. So there's that, which means that specifically both these people hold very, you know, in a small company, they are two of the primary people that are there. Anyway, so it's been kind of weird. And then, you know, the different things going on, just trying to get everybody to pitch in and everybody to kind of focus. But that being said, you know, things are happening. My focus is hopefully, you know, to get all this taken care of and, you know, be able to go, hi, it's ready to sell now. It's been ready to sell, but now it's empty. You know, it's cleared of everything that looks like a human being lived here, which is, it's been harder to do that. It's like taking myself out of my own home.
Yeah, that's hard.
Weird. It is hard. So, but that, all that is, you know, and then just, my, a very dear friend of mine has been, you know, dealing with some health issues, and she's been on my mind and concern, and, you know, you can't really see the person because of the COVID things, you know, and all that. So it's kind of, you know, hard. And then just in general, my daughter's stepson, the eldest one that's in the National Guard, he had been deployed actually to Washington, D.C. when the riots happened, and he's now getting, you know, deployed out of the country. So it's kind of, there's a whole lot of stuff like that. So, you know, I'm...
Yeah, that's intense.
Yeah. So it's all about frazzled and, you know, getting things together, and, you know, I have to get my dogs chipped because, you know, I'm going to be going... You know, when I leave, I'm driving, obviously, them and myself and all. And then, of course, they're going to a place that is not, you know, I don't know, you know, here I know their security limits and what they've got and how, you know, how it's, you know, set up. And, you know, that's, well, I'm going to go to a place that's not quite as secure. I'm going to have to, you know, have a little bit more backup. But other than that, you know, it's kind of interesting. I was mentioning before we got on the air that our particular subject is Margot Adler, one of our beloved dead, and she's just in our beloveds, but she is passed. I didn't know that she was born in Little Rock, Arkansas, so I'm almost like going, this is a sign, and I had said this to Phoenix, so like, I'm supposed to go there, to not Little Rock, but Arkansas. But anyway, that's it. So maybe we should just jump in with getting on to her life and what she gave to the community.
Yeah. And, you know, I wanted to say, just make a comment, right? So one of the things Elvira and I decided to do this year was feature the Mighty Dead. And I don't remember if we've ever kind of given a description to that word. We probably have, but there is this idea of the Mighty Dead of the craft, those ancestors that are all of our ancestors in the craft. So whether you're in the same lineage as, you know, Margot Adler's who we're talking about today, whether you're in the same lineage or not, she is a important figure in all of modern witchcraft and paganism. She is all of our ancestor in the craft. And so we use the term in many witchcraft circles, and I'm finding it used more and more outside of witchcraft circles, those that are our ancestors of the craft we refer to as the Mighty Dead. So this is the next in the series of the Mighty Dead featurings that we're doing. You know, a lot of, like we talked about Doreen Valiente, who died in, like, 1999, is that right?
Yep.
She's not that long ago in the scheme of things, but Margot Adler is even more recent, right? She was alive just in 2014. She was still here. She presented at PantheaCon. She was accessible. I've physically been in her presence. I've taken a class from her. So this is, you know, she is a mighty dead of the craft. She is an important part of our lineage. And this is, she wasn't like 100 years ago. This is a recent beloved dead, right? So I just really wanted to name that. Like, this isn't some ancient person. This is a modern person. This is someone who revolutionized witchcraft for what we look at it to be right now. Mm-hmm. So there you have it. There's my rant.
I think that's a good rant. And it's a, well, it's a good context to, you know, what we're doing for this year, but in general, what the various individuals that made what we do today, the kind of accessibility to different things that we didn't have or weren't there or were hidden or, you know, whatever, lost. They've come back into, they've brought it forward and making it available. Not, you know, there are consistently societies and covens and things that are initiatory and, you know, I don't want to say secretive. It means that it is only for the initiated members and, you know, you don't, you know, go blab it out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
But these people that we're talking about are people that stepped into the situation and then stepped out of comfort zones to be in the forefront and accessible. So, you know, I was really kind of like, wow, this woman that, you know, Margot is just a, as you say, more recent, you know, mighty dead. And yes, in 1999, I'm sitting there going, oh, yeah, I remember in 1999. But, she, you know, she was in England. So to people in England, she might have been, you know, potentially accessible. But to, you know, a lot of us here in the United States, let alone the West Coast, she was not. So, So how do you want to proceed with this? Do we want to just sort of jump in with certain facts about, you know, what her youth was like and all and go from there?
Yeah. Let's be linear.
Well, we'll start linear. We never go through the process with being linear. We just
We're not good at that. Well, we could start there.
I think we'll do that. We'll just start there and go forward.
Perfect.
So, I'm going to let you start this one.
Okay. So, Margot Susanna Adler, born April 16th, which is today, mofos.
Yes.
Isn't that funny? We decided to do this episode, and we actually had to rearrange our schedule a little bit. But we ended up doing her episode on her birthday. That was just coincidence. Like, we did not plan for that. So that's, you know, synchronicity. You got to love it. As Elvira said, she was born in Arkansas, although she grew up mostly in New York City. Her father was actually a quite famous psychotherapist who worked with Freud. His name was Alfred Adler. He was an Austrian Jew, and he collaborated with Freud to create the School of Individual Psychology. So she grew up in a very New York what is the word I want? Not educated.
Cultured? New thought or culture?
Right. Like very, I still can't think of the word. It'll come to me eventually. But, you know, it wasn't a spiritual world that she grew up in. It was a very cerebral thought. Mm-hmm. Mental world, you know. So even though her father was Jewish, there's really not a lot of chat about what her early spiritual life was like. You know, whether they were secular or practicing, she doesn't really talk about very much. But she grew up, had a really good education, went to Berkeley, got her Bachelor's of Arts at Berkeley, which, you know, would have been in the late 60s. So you can imagine what Berkeley was like in the late 60s. There was a lot of that sort of spiritual hippie movement going on at the time. What's funny is her and Starhawk are total contemporaries. their books came out the same day. So Margot Adler's book, Drawing Down the Moon, and Starhawk's book, The Spiral Dance, came out the same day.
Wow.
Which to me is just freaking fascinating. And these two books are like pivotal to what modern witchcraft looks like. But so, you know, the reason I bring that up is because Starhawk was in San Francisco and Margot Adler was just across the bay in Berkeley. So that, you know, they probably, I don't know this for sure, but they would have had, there would have been overlap in their lives, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But she went on to get a master's degree from Columbia. And she went into journalism. That was her main job in the world was in journalism. And in 1970, when she got her master's degree, that's also when her book, or sorry, not 1979. So 9 years after she got her master's degree is when her book came out. And again, that was the same time that The Spiral Dance came out, the same day.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. I know.
You know, and these are pivotal people. I will interject. Her, they both parents were Jewish, but they were not practicing. But her father had been raised in a nominal Lutheran belief system. And when they went in 1951 back to Germany, Margot's mother reconnected with her Jewish heritage and proclaimed herself and Margot Jews. That's exactly what the quote is. And that led to a lot of dissension with the father and the mother in the family.
Yeah.
Because she got a little bit more avid about, you know, the circumstances of spirituality and, you know, kind of a thing. So it does mean that even in what appears to be an intellectual family. There is
that is the word I was trying to remember. Intellectual.
Oh well, there
you
go. You're welcome. There is another part of the situation when you put in the spirituality, and I think that from what I have seen of her history, what she did with connecting with paganism and going forward with that plus the, you know, the more feminist point of reference, I think that was her way of bridging that gap. But it definitely created a lot of tension in her family as she was young. So
yeah,
I'll go now, let you go forward, but I thought I'd add that.
What's interesting too, like I can't help but draw this line just because of my personal background, but Starhawk is also Jewish and got involved in neo-paganism and witchcraft at the same time. So that's very fascinating. And one of my teachers always referred to her family as intellectual Jews. Like they weren't, her father was very similar. One of my teachers, very similar to Margot Adler, was raised in New York, secular, very intellectual. And then my teacher found witchcraft. Like, it's just interesting. There's such a correlation between that upbringing and that, especially during that time in the 60s and 70s, and then this, like, swing into witchcraft. It's just very interesting. That, you know, you can trace a lot of people's lineage that way.
Of course.
I like it. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And it's interesting because, you know, taking that into a more personal level, I mean, my father was born, somewhat raised as a Catholic. My mother was born and raised as a Methodist, of course, and those two, you know, are Christian, you know, point of reference. We weren't, but we were, it was a very intellectual family. And for me, the same thing, you know, I veered into the pagan tradition and witchcraft and the spirituality and the feminism and that area. And I think that may be because, from my own personal point of reference and seeing, you know, what you just said about Starhawk and we're talking about Margot Adler, it's because it is cerebral, it is intellectual, which is one part of the equation. But the other side, of course, is that, you know, you go from the age of I don't want to say the Dark Ages, but you go into Renaissance, you go into the age of reason and intellect, and that is what ruled and has ruled to now in a certain way. And the religious, spiritual aspect of the world has, you know, I don't want to say taken a back seat, but has been put aside. So when you find that somebody starts looking, they're saying, it isn't that what we have is wrong. It's only part of an equation. You have to have the other part. You have to have another part to make it whole, just like when it was just religion. It wasn't okay. It was, there was something missing, and that was the intellect or the reason and that part of things. So, anyway, my musings on that one, personal and otherwise.
Yeah.
But, so, I'll step back, let you go forward with more of her, you know, of her history, and then what it comes out with in terms of our thoughts on things and everything.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the cool things about Margot Adler is if you never met her, you've never had a chance to take one of her workshops or anything, you can still hear her voice and connect to her because she did so many radio programs. She was featured on NPR regularly. She was a reporter for NPR. So there are dozens of, maybe even more than that, interviews of her reading her interview or her journalism, whatever it was she was doing reporting on the NPR website still. So it's totally worth looking her up and listening to some of her reporting. You know, she's got a lovely voice. One of the workshops that she often taught at PantheaCon that she regularly offered every year was a chant workshop. And you would go and just sing for 90 minutes from beginning to end. She would hand out little booklets of chants, and she would just sing, and you would sing with her the whole time. Like, there wasn't lecture, there wasn't any information, like, on where these came from. It was just chanting together, and it was very powerful. But, you know, she was an interesting witch because she didn't actually call herself a witch. She was more into the word pagan, even though she was initiated into British traditional witchcraft. She was a high priestess for a while in a BTW lineage, but she was more like, I think the quote was, I'm a Hellenic reconstructionist at heart. You know, she was really into paganism and the reconstruction of ancient pagan practices more than what we might think of as modern witchcraft, even though her book, Drawing Down the Moon, has been so important to modern witchcraft. And for folks who have not read that book, I think it's like recommended reading that I always suggest to people on the path. I don't think it's a good 101 book. Like, if you've never read any books about witchcraft, or if you're new to all of this and you're not sure where to start, Drawing Down the Moon is not the book that I suggest. But if you've been on the path for a little while or a long while, it's interesting because, at least for me, if I didn't read the book when I was a new witch. I read the book probably 6 years ago, maybe less than that. And what it did for me was it filled in some of the blanks. And if I had read it when I was a fresh new witch, I would have missed a lot. There would have been a lot of nuance and detail that it wouldn't have made sense to me. But with more experience, I'm like, oh, wow. Like, there's so much revealed in that book that if you haven't been practicing for a while, would likely go right over your head. So, it is, I feel like it's required reading for anyone who practices witchcraft, but you don't have to run out and get it if you've not ever read any other books. Like, it's, you know, give it a minute.
Well, and to kind of, you know, go on that same line, as I got that as one of my very first books. I did not open it, you know, really, except for when I saw it and I'm going, oh, yeah, this looks good. And I kind of read some of the, you know, little excerpts of chapters or something. Like, yeah. And then it stayed on the shelf. And later it became something that I would pull out and reference and read a little and pull it again. And it was like it was when it when I used it, it added more depth to what I was already going into, and it was able to flesh things out. But on its own, I think it would have been challenging, in my opinion, to read it and go, oh, yeah, I get it, because you have to have some basis to understand what she's doing. Whereas, with Starhawk, the Spiral Dance is very, you can get in there, you understand it, it works, and you can, I don't want to say it's a primer, but it feels very sequential in what you can do and how to go about doing it. So, but I think that also comes from her background. She was coming in with a highly intellectual, educated background of like psychoanalysis and things that were part of, I'm not saying Starhawk is less, but I think that Margot had a special handle on some of what of where she was coming from that again, duplicate to a certain degree, maybe, but it when you come from a therapist or a counseling background family, it's different. Mm-hmm. They talk differently. They relate differently to each other and family time.
She also writes. She's a journalist, right? So
yes.
Drawing Down the Moon it's written like a journalist would write. She writes about her firsthand experiences. There is a section of Drawing Down the Moon where she writes about showing up to she goes to England and is invited to a British traditional witchcraft ritual, and she's already an initiate and a high priestess, so she's very curious about how they do things differently, and goes to this ritual, and they have her high priestess the ritual. Like, she doesn't know any of these people. She's never been there. The high priestess just decides to not attend, and so they have Margot high priestess the ritual, and she was very uncomfortable and felt very like pressured to perform in this way that she wasn't necessarily ready to do. But it's all written, it's her experience, but written from a journalistic vantage point. So it's interesting. It's different than other books about witchcraft and paganism, even modern books, that are written today, because they tend to be more experiential and like, here's a way to practice this, and less mm-hmm. like that detached journalism viewpoint, So it's just a different way of looking at our community. And I find it really fascinating because, like you said, she's got this psychological upbringing, she's got this journalism background, and so she's able to be in it and detached, which mm-hmm. is not something very many people are good at.
Right, right, exactly. And it's funny because one of her quotes that, again, I think I say this when I deal with people in general about pagan and Wicca, witchcraft, whatever we're going to, what threads we're talking about, and she says, we all come from traditions that are pagan in the sense that they were based on seasonal cycles.
Mm-hmm.
And it is very, I want to say humbling, no matter how much you want to ritualize and mythologize and put things into a certain perspective, it all comes from the land that you live on and that you are part of. And if you're a wandering tribe, then you're going to do things in a different way, and rather than, say, a tribe or culture that's planted and has, like Greece has villages and, stays in one place for a specific time frame of their existence.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because when I started reading, she was very involved with the Unitarian Universalist Church.
Right.
Which amazed me because for some reason, she is a feminist, she is a pagan, And I didn't, you know, I know that Unitarian Universalist is very open, and that's another reason why, actually, I am a member of that church. But it was fascinating to see how much she, you know, lectured at different gatherings and, had these different, experiences in that. And the, Covenant of Unitarian Universalist Pagans, which is called CUPS, was part of what she was, she more or less brought that, together. And I thought that was really neat because actually the particular Unitarian Universalist Church here in Santa Rosa wound up getting one of those, and it'll come to me. There were several people in the local area that were part of that and putting it together. Mm-hmm. Didn't necessarily say they did it, but they were there to offer their knowledge and information to help bring it into effect. So, and until we had COVID, they had particular meetings that they would hold. Then they would do celebrations, but their meetings were always on Wednesday at 4 o'clock, which for someone like myself, I'm still working. So it kind of nixed my going to those. But,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So another part of her, Margot's involvement and, again, heritage that she left, lineage that she put down and engaged with. So that was interesting for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I just looked at the time. We should probably take a break.
Okay. Good moment. We wind down.
Break, and then we'll talk more about this amazing lady.
Okay.
All right. Be right back.
Okay.
The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Stay tuned, as more magic is coming your way right after these messages.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ollie, Sundays, 3 to 4:30. The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays, 5 to 6. The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, Fridays, 1 to 2. And Blue Flag Root Radio with Lady Muse, Fridays, 7 to 8. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
Wow, there we are again.
Yes.
So, where do you want to go next?
Oh, I don't know.
We'll take the garden gate and go out for a stroll at the creek, right?
I think what I want to say, and we've already touched on this a couple of times, but it just bears repeating. Like there's a few articles written about her that you can find online, and I do have my own personal experience of getting to meet her and participate in her workshops. She was just so normal. And I know mm-hmm. that might seem silly, but sometimes, because I've attended a lot of pagan conferences as just like a participant and as a vendor and as a presenter, right? So I have this perspective from different facets.
Mm-hmm.
Some people that are popular or, BNPs, big name pagans, quote unquote, or, pagan famous or whatever, sometimes sometimes they have big egos. Sometimes they, believe their own press too much, and there's a little bit of a diva-ness to some of those folks. Whatevs, like to each their own BU, that's all good. But Margot Adler was so normal and down to earth and just like a regular person. And even some of the tropes that us witches and pagans can sometimes get sucked into and enjoy. You know, occasionally I do like to rock the dramatic stuff that might make people shocked. And, you know, my hair has been pink for like over a year now. And you know, none of that's necessarily witchy, but it does make me a little bit not normal, right? She was just so normal. And even though she was very outspoken and taught at pagan events and had these books about witchcraft and paganism, there was a part of her life that was still very secular. You know, she celebrated the Christmas holidays because that's what she wanted to do for her son. And she, you know, just sort of existed and wore regular clothes and had a regular haircut. And, you know, there was just something very non-assuming about her. And I find that very refreshing. To just have, you know, quote unquote, normal leaders in our community, because that doesn't always happen. Sometimes, especially now with social media being so prevalent, sometimes it's like who's the prettiest and who's the most outspoken and who can create the most likes on their Instagram post. They're the ones that get the most traction. And that's not always healthy. They're not always the ones I want representing my community. They're not always the ones that should be representing our communities. And I find, you know, Margot Adler was such a delightful representative of our community. You know, yes, sometimes I really enjoy witchcraft freaking people out because I don't like the status quo and I am often disenchanted with our overculture. So yes, there is a part of me that likes to shake that up. And right. Sometimes I just want to fit in and just have people know that, yes, we're normal. Yes, we're normal. You know, yes, we're just like you. And actually her other book, Heretic's Heart, A Journey Through Spirit and Revolution, it's a memoir about her political activism. I've never read this book. In fact, I didn't even know it existed until I started doing my research. So I ordered it. It's on its way, another book for me to try and read.
Yes,
my pile is getting very thick.
Well, it's interesting. You said something about, you know, being normal. And one of her quotes is about, you know, pagan beliefs and pagans. And she says, we are not evil. We don't harm or seduce people. We are not we are not dangerous. We are ordinary people like you. We have families, jobs, hopes, and dreams. We are not a cult. This religion is not a joke. We are not what you think we are from looking at TV. We are real. We laugh. We cry. We are serious. We have a sense of humor. You don't have to be afraid of us. We don't want to convert you. And please don't try to convert us. Just give us the same right we give you to live in peace. We are much more similar to you than you think.
Lovely.
Yeah. And I was just like, you were saying that, and I'm going, where's that quote? I read it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like you were saying something that was something she is actually quoted as saying, and I'm like, yeah. Because, you know, you say something to someone, what is your belief system? And if you skirt the truth of saying, well, I'm a witch, and you say I'm a pagan, you know, but it has a less threatening history or bad rap. Not that, you know, pagans are actually considered, you know, like in some instances, you know, they're just as bad in certain religious sects. But that's the one thing, you know. And then I think of the Shakespeare of something is that if you prick us, do we not bleed like you? And I mean, there's a whole soliloquy on that. But it's true. When people see that, and Margot was someone who people could see that. She really was. It's interesting. Her co-host on her radio show with NPR called Call of the Wolf, and he later took it over. His name is Jim Freud, and it's not like it's Freund. But one of the things he said of her in his eulogy of her was, you know, that he said, seldom was the time that I was with her that someone wouldn't recognize her, not necessarily as a celebrity. Radio people and writers tend not to be bothered by that particular problem. But as mm-hmm. someone who was a friend or whose life she had directly improved.
Mm.
I mean, that tells you, you know, be in essence, maybe that is what it's appropriate to strive for. Yes, we get fame or we get known in either our own circle, or it gets bigger mm-hmm. and, you know, suddenly goes, you know, a little larger. But,
yeah.
you know, it's these other things that really, if you can balance, maybe that's the lesson, is to balance
mm-hmm.
that kind of, word fame, celebrityship, with the other, touching people directly, not saying, oh, I'll start this nonprofit fund for, you know, speckle-colored puppy dogs. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, of course, that becomes how you, you know, it's actually being, you know, with people and saying, you know, I'll go to the bathroom just like you. Matter of fact, I got to go now. So, you know, that kind of thing. Being human and like, oh,
yeah.
you mean it isn't, you know, a golden toilet with God knows what
right.
you want to go with it. And I think
right.
that's really important. And, you know, more so in this kind of structure and belief system, because we're talking about the seasons, we're talking about the earth, we're talking about natural cycles. And
yeah.
that's, you know, the word living and breathing it is important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you get known, well, great. But hopefully that balance can stay. She seemed to have
yeah.
done it very well.
Yeah. And there's a thing, I don't know how much I've talked about this before, but it's something that's really important to remember. And in the 80s, this thing happened called the Satanic Panic in the United States, right? And all of a sudden, people were going fucking bananas, accusing people of worshiping Satan and doing really despicable and horrible things. And those things actually weren't happening. It was the typical human frenzy making. But, you know, a group of young people got arrested incorrectly, erroneously for things that didn't actually happen. And so it became dangerous for a while there to say that you practice witchcraft. And, you know, let's be real. In the United States, it's 2021. This is in the United States where it's dangerous to be out and practicing witchcraft and to say that you are a witch or a pagan. It's not a safe thing to do in all of the places in the United States, and doubly, triply, quadruply so in other parts of the world. To use that word is dangerous. And so in the 80s and into the 90s, our elders, the practitioners who had fame and were writing books and were public, we're doing their damnedest to do control and change the narrative and make sure that people understood witches and pagans aren't evil. We're not trying to sacrifice your babies. We're not trying to cause harm. We're not out there cursing. You know, you could be the most straight-laced atheist, but you start fearing a curse and you're just like every other fucking human. We're afraid of that stuff. We're afraid of things we don't understand. And so Margot Adler and other folks like her, like Selena Fox, and I mean, even Scott Cunningham and Silver Ravenwolf, and all of these people who were very out in the 80s and 90s, they were trying to show that we're not dangerous because they had to, right? And so a lot of people modernly, like in the last 5 or 6 years, are really pushing against that message that we're safe, because no, witchcraft isn't safe. Witchcraft is dangerous. You should be afraid of witchcraft. You should be afraid of witches. Absolutely. That's part of the allure and the power of why people come to walk this path. But we don't want it to be dangerous. We don't want people to have their children taken away, and we don't want people to lose their jobs or not be able to get housing because of their religious and spiritual beliefs. And that's what someone like Margot Adler is a shining example of, because she is so normal. She's not throwing it in your face. She's not making it scary. She's just who she is. It doesn't have to be a spectacle. And that is important to remember, because there are so many young folks who are, or new folks to the path, who want to push back against it being normal. And I get that. I'm on board with that too. But there was a reason that those people did what they did. There was a reason that, you know, that the Lady Liberty League exists. If you don't know what the Lady Liberty League is, go look it up. Like, there is a reason the pioneers of this path in the 80s and 90s did so much PR work to take the sting out of it, because it became dangerous. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just feel like that's important to name, because I do see a lot of people who don't appreciate that, and I get it. I want my witchcraft to be dangerous too. I enjoy striking fear in the hearts of my enemies. I get it. I'm on board. And yeah. I don't want someone vandalizing my workplace. I don't want someone harassing my kid. You know, these are real life circumstances. And we do, even though we're supposedly not a Christian nation, we're heavily influenced by Christianity. And sometimes there's fear, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that is one of the big gifts that Margot Adler brought to our community that I think is undersung. You know, she made it just okay. It's just normal, right? It's okay. We can still be friends.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And yeah. That's really important, because when it comes to the circumstances with regards to where we are in, you know, this particular time frame, that kind of person in her writing and what she put out in her programs, I mean, she had a wide range of things that she, you know, went and interviewed people, I mean, and did programs on that ranged from, you know, sexuality to, you know, the different kinds of political things that were out there, or disasters or whatever. I think it was, and that made her, like, I'm normal, I'm doing things here in the world as this person, rather than, you know, just everybody focusing on the pagan or witchcraft aspect. So yeah. I will say, in her later years, I mean, she was diagnosed with cancer, yeah. And that, but she got really into vampires. I thought I would like to take that into a situation, because one of the things that Anne Rice, who did vampires,
yeah,
because she did it because her sister died of cancer. Mm. Because her sister died young and of cancer, and there was this whole thing, then suddenly she started, you know, she started getting these books that she started writing, and it became all the vampire books. And, I mean, there's a specific way it was segued into that. But when I was reading this about Margot, I was like, oh, my God, there's this other writer. And out of that, this is the kind of the thing that came forward this is amazing. I mean, she was, you know, she had, what was the thing that was talking about? She worked with it, you know, people like Ursula Le Guin and Samuel R. Delany. I mean, but it was, she never really did fiction. You know, she never did.
Yeah.
She always went into the journalistic here and now, but then she turned her whole world into this other part. But it was also because of this cancer, and I don't know. I mean, there's something there, and I can feel it kind of brewing in my brain cells, saying, "Well, you know, cancer is, you know, the kind of thing is it takes, and you know, with the blood and the, and it takes over the entire being, and it becomes, you know, this, and then it's, you know, it wants to live, and so it does this, and there's something about the general way, not the specific way, of how cancer functions and how vampires in more modern history have been popularized. So, and two people that I know right now, Margot Adler and Anne Rice, both had experiences either personally or, you know, secondarily that created this. So I'm curious, it may be something to look at down the road, maybe. I don't know.
How very interesting. I mean, I knew about the vampire thing, which I always thought was so bizarre. Like, what a weird turn. I'm obsessed with vampires. You know, I've mentioned this before. I'm about to turn 43 next week. I turn 43. The clock is ticking. I have a date where I can't be a vampire anymore. So, okay, vampires, like, come and make me a vampire. I'm waiting. The clock is ticking. It's starting to run out.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, I get the obsession with vampires. But, yeah, I always thought that was so interesting, this sort of fixation on vampires towards the end of her life. And she would do workshops at PantheaCon about vampires, and I never went because I was like, that's weird. And now I'm kicking myself. That I had this opportunity to find out what that was about for her, and I didn't get that chance, you know? So, you know, that's a message for me. Like, don't waste time thinking you'll have another opportunity. Take the opportunity when you have it.
Exactly. Yeah. And I know that that's really, but it just came, you know, and it was interesting because, like you, I got, why all of a sudden, you know, this whole thing on vampires, my brain just could not, you know, it was like all this work she was doing and all this stuff, and then suddenly she did this turn. And I'm not saying it's a bad turn. It just was so completely divergent from what she had been doing for, you know, her entire life. I just went, huh? Mm-hmm. So very, you know, incredibly interesting situation with that, but she gave a lot to a lot of communities, not just the pagan community. So I'm impressed that we chose her. And as you say, I'm more impressed that, as always, when things have to get changed in our schedules for what we are doing topic-wise, that we wound up doing this on her birthday. So happy birthday, Margot.
Yes, happy birthday, Margot Adler. What is remembered lives. Thank you for being one of our mighty dead.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. So, but wow. So our time, I think we're coming into our time where we need to kind of shift and change. It's almost closing. So next week we're going to do a show on meditation, and again, we have a topic, we have a question as to how it will flesh out, but that's what we're going to start talking about.
All about meditation. And we will have an Ask the Witch segment coming up probably in May. So Ask a Witch is when we answer your questions. So please do send in your questions, and you can do that by going to our website, which is witchpriestesscauldron.com. That is witchpriestesscauldron.com. There's a little thing where a little questionnaire for you to fill out with your question and your name. We won't reveal your full name on air. We won't reveal your email address on air or anything like that. Your question may be edited just for length. Sometimes we get very, very long questions and we just can't read a whole thing like that on the air, so it might be edited. But please do send us your questions if you have questions about witchcraft, about paganism, about spells. If you'd like us to pull some cards on a specific situation that you are in, please do send those questions to us and we will get to them on our next episode of Ask a Witch sometime in May.
Yes, definitely. And so I guess our parting words are enjoy the the well, for most everybody, I can tell by the weather is that it's sunny. Here, we're supposed to have 80-degree weather for the next couple of days, give or take.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
I do know, at least in Arkansas, they were having rain and everything, but they're now a little more sunny. So, we'll see how our spring to summer jaunt gets. But be safe, and take a view at the world, nature. I think that's a big thing right now.
Yeah. Enjoy the weekend and stay safe.
And stay safe. So have
All right.
We'll see you next week on the radio.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Witch, The Priestess, and The Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Our podcast airs live every Friday at 6 p.m. Pacific and will be available for download. Questions or comments on this show or ideas for upcoming shows can be sent to our website, and that's at www.witchpriestesscauldron.com. Again, that's witchpriestesscauldron.com. On behalf of Elvira, Phoenix, Alan, and myself, Gwion Raven, a big merry meet and merry part and merry meet again. Blessed be.